Self-deportation is just a fancy way of saying going home or complying with the law.
I'm guilty of not having paid enough attention to the news of the world.
Walmart had systematic bribery to get stores built in a very quick fashion, and that they falsified the documents, tried to hide those bribes.
There's no question that I've done wrong, and I take full responsibility.
That last voice you hear there, former Senator John Edwards, former vice presidential candidate on trial in North Carolina this week, which is one of the many stories that we've been following over the last 7 days. It's not all that happened this week. It's our Follow Friday segment. And here to join us this week, Patty O'Connell, host of BBC's Broadcasting House. I've been on your show before. Hey, Patty.
Yes, I don't think we paid you for that. But
I'm quite aware that you haven't. We'll get to that. Farai Chidea, maybe you can help me out. I don't know if you've ever been stiffed by Patty O'Connell in the BBC. But
No, I have all respect for Patty. And I mean totally neutral in the litigation.
I have respect for him, too, but he needs to pay me. Patty, we'll get to that in a second. But look, let's start in London with you, because everybody's been talking about News of the World, Rupert Murdoch and James Murdoch this very week, testifying before that judicial panel on media ethics. Did we learn anything new other than this sort of theme that we seem to have of hubris this week?
Oh, yes, we did. And also, we learned a lot old. I mean, for your listeners in their 40s and up, this was a trip back through media ownership and prime ministers and even US presidents going back to the 1980s. We heard Ronald Reagan mentioned. We heard Margaret Thatcher mentioned. We heard of Rupert Murdoch's meetings or alleged influence over these people. So it was an absolutely fascinating reminder of all our yesterdays, all the newspapers we've ever read that this man has had a hand in. And believe you me, there are many of them. And finally, in terms of what new, he predicted the death of newspapers within 20 years. I'm holding the Times, which he owns, and the front page has got a cartoon on it, Stop Press, The Final Deadline, Newspapers Will Be Dead in 20 Years. And I may say, in terms of reporting this story, he partly blames the BBC for that. But there you are. I've got to get a lot out in one brief answer, and everyone's rushing around. Yes, we learned a lot new, and it was a staggering testimony. I was gripped.
Well, this started, Patty O'Connell Fry, you can get in on this too if you want, but it started with, of course, the phone hacking scandal, which is the thing that everybody's aware of. But this whole thing has kind of veered into the Murdoch's influence over politicians in Britain and kind of what would appear to be unseemly relationships between the Murdochs and very powerful people. That sort of corollary of this whole thing seems just as important, if not more important, than the phone hacking.
Well, Patty, why don't you go ahead and I'll jump in.
Yeah, I mean, what happened was that the British tabloids have had a long history of taking off the gloves and punching you full on the nose with their fists. That's the British culture of tabloid newspapers. Your listeners know that. But then we have to ask questions. How did they get their stories? And we found out in some cases they got it by breaking the law, by rubbishing through people's trash cans, and by hacking into their voicemails, interception of telecoms, which is illegal. So this culture, which we used to laugh about and think it's all part of the rock and roll of Britain, was illegal muckraking, and in one case, the voicemail of a dead girl was hacked into. So that's what triggered a disgust by the British public. But then, obviously, once the establishment got their hands on this, they started asking, well, hang on a minute, what kind of influence does someone who runs 37% of the newspapers have over politicians who are desperate for their message to get into the newspapers?
And that's where this went. And Farai, you know, this was a story of sort of political hubris, but it seems to me also the story we had brought back home. We mentioned John Edwards in the opening here. John Edwards, maybe the one thing he can be thankful for is that he's probably better off having his story told by American tabloids than by British tabloids.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, just sort of following up on what Patty said, I was fascinated by, you know, how Britain's culture secretary has had to say that he's going to disclose all these texts and emails that he sent to News Corp. So that's part of this whole kind of chumminess that's being investigated in the UK. And in the U.S., John Edwards was a media star. I mean, it wasn't, you know, as far as I know, there was no pay-to-play. People just thought, oh, here's this guy with this great haircut, at the time a very expensive haircut. And his personal life was so messy. You know, he was basically paying his friend/employee to act as the father of his child on the side,
yeah.
Which is just, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you really can't make this stuff up.
Well, regardless of how the actual guilt or innocence for John Edwards goes, don't you think that people, even though that's a criminal case, guilt or innocence, people are looking for a little bit of justice for John Edwards just because his fall from grace, his wife, a beloved character, passed away of cancer. Meanwhile, he was unfaithful to her, love child, all these things. This seems like a kind of guy in the media who media consumers just want to have justice for somehow, even if the court of law doesn't deliver it.
Well, you know, there's a couple of different issues. One is that his caretaking of his mistress ran afoul, apparently, which is the issue in question, of campaign finance law. So that's really kind of the basic legal issue on the table, because he had to basically pay her off to keep quiet and had to, you know, do some hinky things, allegedly, with donations in order to give her a life that she felt she deserved. And then Elizabeth Edwards is a different part of the narrative, and she was, of course, his wife, who had terminal cancer and who was much wealthier. He was a self-made man, a trial lawyer. He is a self-made man, and she had a large reserve of money, family money, and so it's also a sort of class-tinged story of ambition that, again, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah. Well, in Britain, Paddy O'Connell, you don't have to make this stuff up because you have the royals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've always been interested in where power lies. And just as a matter of record, we don't, on this question of who sent emails to who, it hasn't been said that the culture secretary sent emails to News Corp. It was said that one of his advisors did.
Indeed.
But when you wrap it all together, you used the word hubris. We, as citizens, we're all suspicious now of the people in power, the press barons, and we've seen how we've used the internet around the world to try and democratize people power. And to try and prove that people acting on one Twitter hashtag can get 100 million watches of a YouTube video on the Coney or coin, if you prefer, issue. It was used to explain the Arab Spring. And what we're really looking at now is old guys and how they wielded power, and has it changed? And, you know, I was Monica Lewinsky in a way. I arrived as a congressional intern in 1987, and I remember watching the Iran-Contra hearings, staggered at the openness of American government. And you're very good at beating yourselves up in America. You still have a system that would work if your guys on the levers were prepared to make it work. But you've got a fight, have you not, between the branches of your government. So you shouldn't confuse the sort of openness of your system with the fact that it doesn't work. For me, as an observer of the system, your system can work. What's happening here is so unusual. Murdoch appearing before an inquiry and having been faced by MPs, it's just not happened before to us. Your guys in Congress have been doing this, sticking the skewer in, trying to find the right question. I remember the Enron scandal, the Arthur Anderson scandal. Every senator wants to ask the front page question.
Yeah.
Why do you guys, with your 10 million Florida homes, why do you want Main Street to pay for you? I mean, then you look at me and I'm on the takeaway. So I wrap it together. It's about influence of powerful men, mostly, and how they peddled their power alongside the big story of the last year, how the Arab Spring was in part fueled by Twitter, by Facebook, and by mass public protests of the kind that we haven't seen in our democracies in a long, long time.
Farai Chidea, I won't ask you to do your impression of an American politician yelling in a hearing, but you get the last word.
Well, I just want to say that when it comes to hubris, the allegations against Walmart are really linked into all of the zeitgeist. And so my favorite piece of sort of journalism was a piece by Holman Jenkins in the Wall Street Journal on the opinion page, basically defending saying that if Walmart did pay massive amounts of multi-million dollar bribes in Mexico to expand its empire, that was just acting in the interest of American global capitalism. And what's wrong with that? Which kind of gets back to the, Dutch East India Company and capitalism as a tool of imperialism, but you know, I guess no one cares about that.
Well, that's kind of, it's one very jaundiced view of what may or may not have gone on in Mexico. Certainly a corporate influence into our institutions, and that kind of ties it back to the UK and what Patty's been talking about. Guys, a fascinating discussion. I love having you guys on the show, especially when I'm filling in to host. That's Patty O'Connell, host of the BBC, host of BBC's Broadcasting House in London. Patty, you owe me $100. We've established that. Farai Chidea, a writer and
more
fellow at
and a fellow bad at, accent. A bad accent. I should double it.
No, actually, the accent was the best part. It was worth about $100. Guys, thanks for joining us. Appreciate having you on. We always want to get you in on the conversation. Tell us what you think at 8778MyTake. You can post to the website at thetakeaway.org, whether it's on diversity, on the media, or hubris in politics, anything you hear on the show. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John and Celeste. It's The Takeaway.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.